Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. And we're so delighted this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. I give God reverence today, who is my life, to Apostle Deans and to everyone in their respective places. We just thank and praise God on this day. I give him all the praise and all the glory today. And I magnify his holy name today. He's such an awesome God. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a psalm, and a prayer. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doeth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I have just read you from Psalms 130 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song, and then we're going to have a prayer.
God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way? Who make miracles because of my faith? And with the dark of their blood, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who cries there to help me in times of weakness? God is able. God is able. God is able. Tell me who they bring out of a little spring. Who tell clouds throw back so that the sun can look at me? And who tell the wind to whistle through the trees? And when I'm in trouble, who the same God will come down and God is able. God is able. God is able. telling you God is able and equal. Never forsake. No, he won't say. He'll be there till the end. Come on.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come right now, God, confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we come right now just giving you all the praise tonight, Lord. We give you all of the praise, God. We give you all of the glory. We magnify your holy name on tonight. We give you praise and glory, Father. We just thank you, hallelujah. We give you the highest praise tonight, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we come, Lord, asking you tonight, God, to bind the strong man tonight from our lives and bind them from our radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. Bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, God, and every demonic force, God, and that try to attack this radio broadcast, that try to attack us, God. And I ask you to bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, on tonight, God, and we come tonight, God, and asking you to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. And if there is anything in there, God, that should not be them, we ask you to remove it right now. We ask you to create in us a clean heart. And we ask you to renew in us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight. And Father, we come asking you right now, God, to look down and have mercy. Father, change the atmosphere on this radio broadcast. I ask you to send your anointing right now, God. Send your anointing right now, God. Send your anointing right now. Let your power fall right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, shift right now, God. Shift this atmosphere right now, God. I ask you to open up our minds on tonight. Open up our hearts, God, in the name of Jesus, that we may receive your word. In the name of Jesus, Father, I'm asking you right now, God, to give us a clear vision. Give us clear vision, God, in the name of Jesus, of your word, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us, minister to us, in the name of Jesus, on tonight. Father, we just thank you. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight, God. We need you, Jesus. We can't make it without you. We need you, God. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. We just give God praise and glory on tonight. We're going to get ready to go into our Bible class because we got a few of those questions tonight so we can get through with everything on tonight. So I'm going to start with chapter 11 on tonight, and it reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and gold, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. For the firstborn of, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the, his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doeth put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my oneness may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. And I'm in chapter 12, I'm sorry. And it shall be the first month of the year to you, ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And it, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make ye your account for the lamb. Your lamb should be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and ye shall keep it up until 14 days of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pureness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, and it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leavening out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavening bread from the first day until the 7th day, thy soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day, there should be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there should be a holy convocation to you. No man of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at eve, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at eve. 7 days shall there be no leavening found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavening, even that soul shall be cut off from congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavening. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with your blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through it, through to spite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an audience to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered out our houses, and the people bowed their head in worship. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said, as ye have said. Also take your flock and your herd, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading trough being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel joined from Ramses to Sackcloth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them in flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened in case of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwell in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the audience of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is brought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when the stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourn among you. Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their army. Amen. That went quick. I didn't think. Anyway, amen. We're gonna get right into our questions, because we got about 15 of them today. We're in chapter 11. What did God tell Moses to act for in the hearing of the people of Israel? What did God tell Moses to act for in the hearing of the people of Israel? He told them to ask for the silver, gold, and jewelry. What he told them to ask for. What was Moses' prophecy, number two, in chapter 11? What was Moses' prophecy on the land of Egypt? What was his prophecy? What did he tell Pharaoh? Because you know the Lord said he had one more plague for Egypt. What was Moses' prophecy on the land of Egypt? All the firstborn of men and animal would die. That was the prophecy that Moses told them. Number three, what did Moses say the people of Egypt would do after the last plague? What did Moses say that the people of Egypt would do after the last plague? Okay, they would bow down to Moses and tell him to leave. They wanted him to hurry up and get out. We're in chapter 12 now. What were the children of Israel to do on the 14th day of the month? Okay, they were to eat the Passover meal of the lamb and unleavened bread. That's what they were supposed to do on the 14th day of the month. Number two, what were they to do to their houses that night? Okay.
Put blood on the doorpost.
Yep. That's what they were supposed to do. Okay. What did this signify? What did it signify?
That the angel of death would pass over. It's a Passover.
Wait a minute, I skipped one. Didn't I skip one? Yeah. It said, how were people of Israel to be dressed that night as they ate? Well, you know what? I went too fast. I'm sorry. How were the people of Israel to be dressed that night as they ate? Okay.
Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in peace. It is the Lord's Passover.
Yep, that's it. See, verse 11, too. I think it was all of it. Yep, and ye shall eat it in haste. The Lord's Passover, that's right. Okay, and then what did they? Okay. Okay, and this was it signified for the third one, but you was right about that still too, because that's what it meant. But about them putting over the doorpost that the Lord would pass over it, but. It says, what did this signify, how the people was dressed? And it signified that it showed that they were prepared to leave in a hurry because they didn't know how, when the Egyptians was going to put them out. Once the Spirit of death started killing the firstborn, and it killed Pharaoh's firstborn. They didn't know when he was going to put them out. You know, they didn't know when Pharaoh was going to put them out, so the Lord was telling them to make sure they was dressed and everything when they ate that meal. So when the death angel started passing over, killing people, they would be ready to leave. And that's what they were saying. They couldn't even cook their bread because they was rushing them. They was rushing them to get out. From what did the blood on their houses save them? That's number four. By them putting the blood on their doorposts, what did they do that for?
So the plague could pass over.
Yeah. So the
it would not destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
It say, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
That's right. And when one no firstborn, and the firstborn would be saved from dying when they put that blood on the doorpost. That's right. Yeah. So number five, why were the people to keep observing the Passover meal each year? Why was they supposed to do that? And it's for, so the children, see, they wanted to keep going. They still observing the Passover today, you know. And so it just passed. So, but it's for the children and for the generation to know and understand and remember what God had done for them in the land of Egypt, just like us. This is for us to know, because if we didn't have it here in the Word, we wouldn't know nothing. But now we know. This is the time when the Passover, they iterated the Passover here in Exodus. They just started that. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Number six. What was the tenth plague sent on Egypt? It's just the same. It's the same thing. It was all the firstborn and of man and beast were killed. Okay, did Pharaoh want Israel to leave now? Yep, he did, because his son died too. So he didn't want them to stay any longer. What was the population of Israel at this time? He said it in there, but it was a lot of them. It was 600,000 men plus the children. 600,000 men plus the children. That was a lot. How long had Israel been in Egypt? How long had they been there? They had been there 430 years. So this is a powerful, powerful chapter right here. This is a powerful, powerful chapter. And in the book of in chapter 11, it's a little short, but it's still good because it tells where the Lord was setting everything up. He was getting that tenth plague ready to come, and so he was trying to get the Israelites ready. So he had told Moses to tell them all to go to their neighbors and stuff and borrow jewelry and gold and silver and stuff like that. And the word borrow means to collect back wages, because they was working for the Egyptians and nobody was getting paid. And so, and the Lord knew that. So they had served for several years, the Israelites had as slaves and had never received not one penny. So God was trying to get them to get that, because he figured they would need something as payment. It's just right for Pharaoh to pay them, but they didn't. Then Moses brought that 10th plague. The Lord gave Moses that thing for the 10th plague to go tell Pharaoh. And so the firstborn of a man and the firstborn of beast of the beast belonged to the gods of Egypt. But the Lord claimed the first fruit of the Egyptian god. So the god of the Egyptians have to answer to God. So why they trying to claim the firstborn of both man and beast, the Lord God claimed the first fruit from them, because they're not powerful than the Lord. And then he was showing them, the difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. See, the difference don't lie in the death angel, which passed over both lands, Egypt and Goshen, but in fact, I think it was the Jews and the Gentiles. But anyway, and I think that's right, the Jews and the Gentiles, and then, but the difference was in the blood of the lamb that they put over the doorpost. That was the difference. Each home was protected, and the ones in Egypt didn't put no blood up. Didn't put no blood, and that's where the Passover started, right there, the Passover feast. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the eloquent portraits of the Lord in the Old Testament. And they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament about the Passover, because he is the Passover lamb. Anybody have anything to say, any comments before I go on? So the Passover at this time was instituted as a memorial to Israel's deliverance from Egypt. And the Passover is like a foundation to the nation of Israel. It's like a new revelation with God. I know it's a lot of them now that keep the Passover, and we keep it most of the time. Last year I cooked the Passover dinner. I cooked lamb, and we had grape juice, and we had the bitter herbs, and these eggs. There's some eggs, the way you cook the eggs and stuff like that. We had it all, but I don't think I cooked the lamb right, but I cooked it as much as I could. And every Passover, you're supposed to take any store-bought bread. I would put it outside in my car. I put all the bread outside of my car. I put any yeast outside, you know, so you're not supposed to have any yeast in your house during Passover, or any light bread, no kind of bread. Like cornbread with that stuff, rise and meal and all that kind of stuff. You're not supposed to have that in the house. That's what they call unleavened bread. Mm-hmm. So in chapter 12, it was real good in chapter 12 because he had hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so Pharaoh didn't believe him about what Moses told him about every firstborn going to die. So he didn't believe it, but honey, let me tell you something. God made a believer out of him. And once they got in the house, God told them, do not go back out. Once they killed the Passover lamb and they let that blood drain in the pan, in the basin of what I call a pan, and they took it and they put it over the lintel at the top of the door, and then the doorposts on both sides of the door. And that's just like being covered in the blood of Jesus, or sprinkled in the blood of Jesus. This was very good. It's so much more to it that I can talk about, but I don't know, but it was good. The Passover, well, the blood is the point here. The blood, see, I'm telling you, with the blood, when you covered in the blood, that's why I always be saying cover in the blood, because just like they were covered under the blood, that death angel passed them up, passed over them. So it was good. And when I pray and you all pray and we say, Lord, cover us in the blood, this is the reason why. These are the reason why that we should be asking God every day to cover us in the blood. It starts from here. Keep yourself covered up in the blood, and the death angel will pass you up. But the blood is so important because Jesus shed his blood for us. He died for our sins. He shed the blood. It wasn't about how good we was and how obedient and all this kind of stuff. He died for our sins, that we may have life in a right to the tree of life. He died for our salvation. That's what Jesus did. And so that's how he's mentioned over here in the Old Testament. And he didn't come up until the New Testament, because he is the Passover lamb. And then it's something else I want to tell you about the leavening blood, the unleavened bread is good, but the leavening bread, it stands like for evil. Trying to read here in the commentary because I was reading some of this stuff. So when he told them they had to roast the lamb, it had to be roasted. It couldn't be no other way, but it had to roast with fire. The fire signifies or speaks of judgment, and because there must be judgment of sin, and they were to eat the lamb with unleavened bread. Leaven speaks of sin, and unleavened bread speaks of Christ as the one we are to feed upon. So, and they were also to partake of the meal with bitter herbs. Now, the bitter herb signifies redemption. It says, eat not of it raw or nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the fruit thereof. Now, this sacrifice could not be eaten raw because it spoke of the judgment of the sin in human lives, and this requires sacrifice and the five judgments. When a person comes to Christ, he comes as a sinner. The sacrifice was not to be soaked with water. This simply means that we must trust God, and in him alone shall we trust. Everything had to be roasted, and it was the judgment of fire. They weren't saved because they were the seed of Abraham. If the Egyptians, if Pharaoh had obeyed God's command, they too would have been saved. But God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No one was saved because they was doing the best he could, or because they was honest, or because they was a good person. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There was no blood over their doorposts in Egypt. And they were not to run out of the house during the night and look at the blood. They were to be confined, and then they had to have confidence and faith in God. They were not saved because they were circumcised or because they belonged to some temple or church. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel was not making a survey of the neighborhood. He just saw the blood, and wherever he seen the blood, he didn't go. He didn't do what kill or destroy, whatever he did. But it was all about the blood. The blood speaks. Believe me. the blood speak, it's still speaking. Because, honey, if he had not shed the blood, wouldn't be no redemption. Mm-hmm. But it was the shedding of the blood. And see, I think it was in chapter 11 where it was, might have been in chapter 12 where it said the Israelites left and a multitude of other people came too. That's why it was so many people, because it was the more folks. It was the folk that intermarried. Where did I read that in? It was some people that they came, but they had intermarried with some more people here, you know, like some Israelites and Egyptians married and stuff like that. And they came too. And let's see where I saw that. Yeah, the Israelites that left Egypt, a mixed multitude left with them. They will be the cause of much trouble in the camp of Israel. And the mixed multitude are troublemakers. They are half-breeds. An Egyptian married a Jewish maiden, or a Hebrew married an Egyptian maiden. The offspring of a union like this had to make a decision. Shall he go out of the land of Egypt with the Israelites or stay with the Egyptians? Many of the mixed multitude left the land and many stayed. Those who left often wondered if they had made a mistake. And when trouble and hardship came, they were the first to complain because they should have stayed in Egypt. But they was making that. That's what made a whole lot, and we'll see as we go on in the chapter of Exodus, in this book of Exodus, where they was making trouble all the time, complaining and all that stuff. And you're gonna see where God killed a lot of those people because they was really talking against Moses and Aaron, and that's when I told you they said God said Moses. You tell them, whoever's on the Lord's side, get over there with you. And whoever not, stay on over there where they at. And some of them stayed, and he opened the ground up and killed them. Mm-hmm. So it was the Egyptians, I think most of them was obedient to what God was saying. They trusted God. They believed in God. But it was the mixed multitude that came with them. It was some of them heathen folks that came with them. And they was troublemakers. That's all they did was made trouble for the camp. And so God was saying, that they was the problem. That was the problem because even today, it's a mixed multitude in Israel, even today. So in a lot of times, when they get ready to make decisions over there, even today, they still dealing with a mixed multitude of people. And they have different ways. The Egyptians don't like Israel. They don't like the Jews. They don't like them. And a whole lot of other people don't like them. And let me see. And then when the... When Moses told them to borrow, okay, it's okay. The word, when he told them to go borrow the silver and the gold jewels, that word borrow means shaal, meaning to act. God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moses really had favor because the things that God was telling Moses to do, he would do them, and it was really scaring the Egyptians, you know, because one of them plagues, they killed all their cattle, or they poisoned the cattle or something, and they was like, Pharaoh, how long you going to let this man, he say next, they were saying next, they going to kill all of them. We all going to die. So you need to let them go. That's what the Egyptians was telling them. But when he told Moses to tell them to borrow the gold and silver, that was just for back wages where they had worked all them years. They was in Egypt for 430 years and didn't get a penny for being a slave, for working all those years. So that's why God told them, because, you know, he let them have favor with the Egyptians, so they gave them what they needed and required. So, and then the Egyptians was just kind of ready for them to leave. Just gone on and go, because y'all doing too much over here. Gone and leave. And, but going back to the Passover, I think we all should start observing it when it come around. Like I said, last year, this year I couldn't do it because I had this defibrillator put in. But last year I cooked a Passover meal. I still got some of that stuff in my closet and stuff. But that's the time. You're supposed to keep that, the Passover. You're supposed to keep it every year. You're supposed to do it every year. The Jewish people do it. The Israelites supposed to be doing it. We are supposed to be doing it. So I cooked that lamb and stuff. And, I mean, you have to make it taste good and stuff like that. The bitter herbs and stuff, you have to make it taste good. But it's real, it's a real good meal if you do it right, because they have the candles on the table. I had candles and everything lit. And we had our wine glass, but we had grape juice in them and stuff like that. But we ate what I cooked. And they got a plate. You can Google it. And they got a plate, and they show you what to put on this plate. I didn't get a chance. I don't know if I bought the plate or not. I might have. And you're supposed to eat that in observance to the Passover meal or Jesus sharing his blood for us. It's awesome. And once you get used to doing it, you'll want to do it every year, because it's just like Easter, but it's not Easter. Easter is a pagan holiday. We're not supposed to be doing Easter because it's pagan. But that's how we were brought up, because me and my girls were baptized on Easter. So I really believe in Easter. And on Easter Sunday morning was when I first, God showed me his glory on Easter Sunday morning. On that morning, around about 5:30, or it was earlier than that. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. He showed me his glory. But the Passover meal is better to do. You know, some people do Lent. I haven't even looked into that. But anytime you give up something for God, I think God is pleased with it. I don't know who came up with Lent or where it comes from, but anytime you give something up for God, God is pleased with it. But with the with Easter and all that, that's just pagan. And believe me, you can look up pagan, and pagan is not good for nobody. They have, when I went to the Eastern Market last week, they had a pagan booth, and they had skeleton heads and all kind of stuff on the table. And then I remember one time Ella and Donna and I had stopped in the park down there by my house in St. Louis, and they had the whole park, and we thought it was a family reunion. We was going to act like we was going to go get something to eat. And we got in there, and it was pagan people everywhere. We had to run out of there. Just run out of there. So you don't want to ever be caught around nothing like that, because you'll know it, because you have the Spirit of God in you. You'll know it. You will know it. As soon as you hear it, you'll know, oh, it's ain't of God. Mm-hmm. Is there any questions or comments or anything? We got about 4 or 5 minutes. This was, let me tell you something, I might preach on this. I'm telling you, this thing just woke me out this morning. It sure did. Mm-hmm. It says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sackcloth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides the children. And then what about the women? $1 million. And this is going to get better than that. This, the next chapter, too, we have two chapters at a time. It's going to get better and better. And you're going to see the hand of God working in all of this. I'm telling you, God will never leave you or forsake you. I'm telling you. He did everything he could for the Israelites. He did everything he could to show them that he loved them. He did everything. Of course, they had to go through something, like I said before. They had to go through something. They had to keep on making them bricks and all that until he got Pharaoh's attention. But it's at his own timing, because he did 10 plagues on Pharaoh, on Egypt. And on the 10th one, he let them go. Because it was just something else. He had to let them go. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we're going through stuff, we have to go through things. We have to. God didn't say everything was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be light and all that. God always puts you in an uncomfortable situation. He ain't going to let it be easy. He's going to see what you're going to do. What you going to do? You going to call on me? You going to believe in me? You going to trust in me? Believe me. You have to trust the Lord. You have to trust him. I'm telling you. You have to trust the Lord. And because, you know, Moses started complaining first thing. Like, man, I ain't finna go. What I'm going to tell? Who I'm going to tell them? I'm talking to an invisible God. I'm talking to a burning bush. And he just only human. I probably would have said the same thing. They ain't going to believe me. You're a bush on fire. What they going to say? He say, tell them I am that I am. And they were still like Moses. You making this Pharaoh make us make bricks without nothing now. We did have some people bringing us straw. They ain't bringing us nothing. They were complaining. I guess some of those mixed multitudes was in that. Because the children of Israel was obedient to God. Yes, they were. Because I was like, I thought they was God's chosen people. Why are they talking back and stuff? But it wasn't them. It was some mixed multitude that came right on along with them over in Goshen, trying to escape all them plagues and stuff. Mhm. So this was good. Like I said, I ain't gonna say too much because on 9/11 I may talk about this thing and let y'all get a better understanding and everything of it. So I'm not gonna hold you. We got about 1 minute or about 30 seconds. I thank God for everyone that came on the radio broadcast on the night. I give God praise. I give him glory on tonight. And I just thank him for this. It's just a blessing because you hear pastors preaching on all of this stuff, but you never understand it until you study it. Until you know, when you start studying for yourself over and over and over again, you really know now. When they start preaching about something, you could say, well, he know what he's talking about, or he said that wrong, or whatever, because you read it and you studied it for yourself. That's the blessed part of it. You know, we supposed to listen to our pastors, but we supposed to read for ourselves. We supposed to know it for ourselves. Don't let me and nobody else tell you nothing. Look in the book for yourself and get an understanding for yourself. If you don't understand it, then you ask somebody. And if I ain't got it, I get it. Believe me. So we're going to get ready to close out. I thank each and every one of y'all. Father, I ask you right now to cover everyone that's under the sound of my voice and the blood of Jesus and their families and in camp, your angels all around about them to protect them. Lord, thank you tonight for opening up our understanding. Thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit of God. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. and for your glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. You all have a good night. I see you right back here at the same time Thursday night. God bless you. I love you. Have a good night.
God bless you. I love you, too. Have a good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Love you, too. Good night. Love you.
Have a good night. Love you.
Love you, too. Have a good night.